I'm Femi Okeh. You're watching the stream. In the United States, the cases of black women who go missing rarely make their headlines. So our question today is not why does that happen? We all know why that happens, but what can be done about it? In recent years, communities, families have been involved with somebody who's been loved, who's gone missing or even murdered. They have rallied around to protect black women. Let me give you one example. It's an HBO documentary called Black and Missing.
The detective kept saying she ran away. And I'm like, she didn't run away. It was like a punch in the face.
When a black person is in distress, missing, it's not a big deal to law enforcement because they don't think we have much to lose.
This one always gets me just remembering when she was a little girl.
You blame yourself because it's never enough.
My sister went missing in 2009. But all the major news stations, nobody would talk to me.
Gwen Ifill coined the term missing white woman syndrome.
If you don't meet those criteria, blonde hair, blue eyes, your stories are not newsworthy.
Here's my niece. She's missing. Her story is just as compelling.
We have nothing for our missing people except black folks spit and grit.
So helping us share this story with you, this issue with you on the stream, Alex, Aisha, Amara, thank you so much for being part of our program. Alex, please introduce yourself to our global audience. Tell them who you are, what you do.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. My name is Alexandria Noah. I'm the director of political advocacy at Black Boston, a community organization, and a doctoral student at Suffolk University studying youth development.
It's good to have you. Aisha, I want you to introduce yourself to our stream audience, but also tell them your connection with this particular issue, black women going missing, not being reported enough.
My name is Aisha Miller, and September 11th, 1986, my mother was kidnapped and murdered, as well as my oldest sister, who was 18 years old at the time. And for 21 years, we didn't know what happened to them. And it wasn't until the cold case detectives worked that case in 2007, 2008, where they found him. And he was already in prison for having done the same thing to another young lady just 2 months after they kidnapped him. He kidnapped and murdered my mother and sister. So now what I do is host a show that reflects and focuses on the effects of childhood trauma on adult behavior.
Aisha, thank you so much. And I really appreciate you being on today's show, bringing your personal experience and sharing it with us in our show. I'm going to bring in Amara. Amara, thanks for being on the stream. Again, please introduce yourself to our audience. Tell them who you are and what you do.
Hi. Well, thank you for having me. My name is Amara Kofer, and I am the creator, host, and executive producer for Black Girl Gone, a true crime podcast.
Thank you so much. All right. So we have three guests who are able to answer your questions, really dig into this topic. It's a hard conversation to have. But if you're on YouTube right now, your comments, your questions, I welcome them. You can be part of the discussion. Alex, let's start. Alex, Amara, Aisha, let's start with giving our international audience an idea of what it is like when you see coverage of, if you see coverage of black women who've gone missing or maybe something tragic has happened to them. Just in a nutshell, Alex, can you help our international audience understand what it is like?
Yeah. What I can say, when a black woman or girl is gone missing, there is not equitable coverage. And I think a lot of people understand white woman missing syndrome, which was coined by African-American journalist Gwen Ifill back in 2004. And this was basically aligning with that same sentiment, is that when black women and girls are missing, there is a lack of urgency. But when it's someone that is white or what people will say is conventionally attractive white woman, that all of that image is important. And when people view that, oh, it's like this person is viewed soft. So it really goes back to the depictions of black womanhood and black girls, how society has trained our mind to think about black women and girls. And I think that reflects on how our law enforcement treats black girls. We've been trained to view them in a certain way. So there is not equitable coverage. And I think that's one of the reasons why, is because there's a lack of protection. We are seen as you know, we're not valuable to society.
I see you nodding, Amara. Articulate that, Noel. Go ahead.
It's exactly correct. It's one of the reasons why I started my show. We all know that there is a lack of coverage of these stories, but there's a lack of concern. And, you know, one of the excuses that, you know, people often make is that when they elevate the stories of missing white women like Gabby Petito, one of the things that I heard over and over again was that she was so relatable and that they could see themselves in her and they could see their daughters in her or their friends in her. And they don't see that when black women are missing, and that's a problem. And it's the way in which their stories are covered. It's the way in which we don't get into their lives. We don't find out who they are. And so, you know, how could someone connect to them if we don't know these women? So, you know, that's why I wanted to do a show that focuses more on telling who these women were, so that you can eliminate the excuse of, well, I can't relate to that, or, you know, we can all relate to each other, even if it's just that we are women, you know what I mean? Like, we all have different struggles, we all come from different places, but some of our struggles are the same, and we can relate to each other, you know, in a way that makes these stories more real for people and more, you know, something that they care about. I think that's what makes the difference.
Gabby Petito was a young white woman who eventually was found to have been strangled. That story was on cable news almost every night. It was like a running tragic soap opera. Aisha, what do you want to add here?
My question is, do we hear about it? Do we actually hear about it? You know, it comes on, but it's a blip in the news. It comes on maybe one news cycle, one or two. I know, at least from my family, maybe a week. That was about it. Mm-hmm. And until we started raising our voices and going to the police more often, we wrote to everybody, every news outlet, not just news outlets, television programs, major networks that were on at that time. And nobody paid attention. No one gave us any credibility. So what I know and understand is that nobody listens. Well, very few people listen. I won't say no one. But now I'm grateful that we have more opportunities to do that, such as the different platforms, such as Miss Black Girl Gone and my own, that we're able to bring a voice and bring the voices alive and let them know that we are human, just like my mom. Even today, this is 35 years. This has taken me 35 years to even talk about to the degree that it needs to be talked about for me, because it's so personal. Mm-hmm. It was so hurtful.
Femi, so, I can't. Sorry.
So, Aisha, you sent us this picture. You sent us several pictures. One is you are the spitting image of your mum. Okay, so everyone, this is Aisha's mum. This is little, I'm going to say baby girl, but you were about nine at the time. This is you, Aisha. And you lost your mum and your sister in a tragic situation, and you had about a week's worth of attention from the media, and that was it. Why did they move on? Why didn't they stay with this story?
At that time, they wanted to accuse my father, because generally in a domestic case, they want to pin it on a relative, somebody that they knew. So it went unnoticed. Mm-hmm. And because they couldn't connect him to it, they had no DNA. It wasn't that popular back in 1986, but they couldn't pin him. And so they couldn't conclude the matter for him. And so it just went cold. The case went cold. And unfortunately and regretfully, the Tommy Lee Stewart, who was the assailant, he did the same thing to another young lady just 2 months after that. She lived. And because she lived, she's the reason why we know what we know today. Mm. And it took that long. But even her, nobody paid attention to her case either.
Senator, just to kind of tag in, I'm sorry. I just wanted to kind of tag in on Aisha's point about the, you know, reaching out to media outlets and them just not caring. That is such a common thing I see in the stories that I tell of these families, particularly of the missing women, reaching out to the local media and them just kind of just like, this is really not that interesting of a story for us. And that is, it's sad because they, you know, that's their first, you know, the place they go is to their local media. And I think that there's also a difference between the local media covering it and the national media covering it. A lot of times the local media will pick up these stories, but it stays within the confines of the small town or the area or the city in which the crime took place, and it doesn't ever make it to the national stage. And that is the difference between, you know, the cases of missing Black women on the regular and cases like the Gabby Petito case, is that they do often get elevated to that national level more, you know, more often than Black women's cases ever have. So.
Now, I will say that.
Alex goes first, and then Aisha, you can go second. I'll do a little moderating here, but keep going, Alex. No, go ahead.
No, this is a really exciting conversation. And I also want to talk about Black families, because I think Black families are forced to do the work that law enforcement is supposed to do. So in Boston, we had a case, Sherelle Pringle from Woburn, Massachusetts, and her remains were found by her family. And this goes back also to the documentary, Natalie and Derica Wilson. They also stated that, you know, the first 24 hours of when a person goes missing is super critical. And in a lot of jurisdictions, you have to wait after 24 hours to file that person is missing. So there's a lot of the way the structure in law enforcement also hinders the development of like making sure that Black women and Black girls are safe as well. Mm-hmm. But why is it that Black families are forced to do the work? And a lot of people are saying law enforcement is inadequate. And I would agree with them that it is inadequate.
Let me just bring in two young women who were found dead. They died on December the 12th, 2021. So here is Lauren Smith-Fields, and this is Brenda Rawls on my laptop. And what happened to them really speaks to what you're talking about, the detective process, the police process. So with Lauren Smith-Fields, her family was not told that she was found dead. They had to go to her apartment. Her landlord put a note on her on the door and said, if you're looking for Lauren, please call me. That is how they found out. And then with Brenda Rawls, again, her family were not told. It's almost as if the police were shrugging. So something, if we are really focusing on, we know what the problem is. Like, we've known what the problem has been for years. We are focusing on, now what do we do? It's not just the media, it's the police too. Aisha, you start.
It's both. Yes, it is both. Because they want to come to a quick conclusion. They want to close the case out as quickly as possible. And whomever they can pin it on, and whomever they can get to confess or find some type of evidence to lead to that person's capture, they want to do that. And if they can't do it, then it's pushed to the back burner, right? Which was the case even with my dad. So, which he had nothing to do with it. And he kept saying that I didn't do it. I love my wife. So he was not involved. However, when the man who did it, Tommy Lee Stewart, was a serial offender, right? He'd done the same thing in the 1970s, came again in 1986, twice in 1986. And so, but nobody looked at him. Even when the young lady went to the police in November of the same of 1986, nobody followed up again, right? So he did eventually go to prison for her case. But to link our two cases, it took 21 years to link our two cases. And so, you know, and, you know, unfortunately, my family found the body of my oldest sister in our home. And we didn't know what happened to my mom. Yeah. We didn't know.
So I want to bring in the voice of Darnell B. Crosland. He's an attorney. I'm going to play this video. And then, Amara, I want you to react off the back of this video, because Darnell is bringing some of these ideas about, now what do we do? We know that our Black women are not being taken seriously when they go missing or when they're murdered. He has some solutions. Here he is.
The death of Lauren Smith-Fields is an absolute tragedy. And what we're asking for isn't much. She was reported dead by a white man she met on Bumble. She's a 23-year-old, beautiful, vibrant YouTube influencer, Instagram model, college student. And from the time of her death, The Bridgeport Police Department didn't even have the decency to notify the family. They did no investigation. They preserved no evidence. And as we sit here today, we don't have any answers as to how she died or how these drugs ended up in her system. That's unacceptable. So what we want and what justice looks like for us is if the Department of Justice comes into Bridgeport, Connecticut, and does a proper investigation, they deserve answers, and we want those answers now.
I mean, yeah, I think that, you know, in a case like with Lauren Smithfield, it's very typical for the police to react this way when a woman of color, black woman, goes missing. There is, you know, Aisha's story about the process investigation when of her mother's death, of her mother's murder, and the kidnapping of her sister, the Lauren Smithfield story. It's very familiar in the stories that I've told about how the police initially react. I think it's important to understand that even when these police reports or these missing persons reports are filed, police don't immediately start investigating. It's not like you call and say, hey, my loved one is missing, and then they start hitting the pavement and searching for your loved one. Sometimes even after the missing person report has been filed, it takes the police weeks to start investigating the crime. And usually that investigation only takes place if something else occurs that sparks their desire to, you know, some type of sign of foul play or something comes, someone comes forward.
Or otherwise, social media campaign. We were just showing some of the social media. It's like the people on social media made the police investigate a murder.
And that's why
a potential murder.
Yes. And
I should say, let me correct myself. Yeah.
Sorry. And I think that's how true crime serves a purpose, because what it does is it creates the, you know, we as human beings, we are kind of voyeurs. We like to hear about other people's lives. And that's why social media is so, you know, popular. So telling these stories then sparks an interest in these stories. And then it creates, you know, a groundswell on social media. I was saying before the Gabby Petito story hit CNN and MSNBC and mainstream media, I was seeing it all over Twitter, all over Instagram, all over TikTok. And then I started seeing CNN picked up the story. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the media is very much interested in what we are interested in these days. Whatever is the trending topic, whatever is popular, they're then going to latch onto that. And then in turn, that puts pressure on the law enforcement and police, because there's no way you can have millions of people tweeting at you what's going on with this case and you're just like, wringing your hands.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah. That makes sense.
You know, yeah, so we have to kind of, you know, it actually, as much as it starts with the police and it starts with the media, it also starts with us as social media, you know, consumers, as people on social media, as people who like true crime or just human beings in general. We are the ones that drive these stories. And if we can care about Lauren Smithfield, I've Lauren Smithfield is one of those cases that has become more popular because of the social media.
Absolutely.
Way before I saw it on the news, I can't even tell you how many people have sent me, tagged me about the story, sent me messages about the story way before I saw it on the news. So it really does start there, and it can start there. I think that is where the difference is going to be, not in the mainstream media, not at the police level. I think it really is going to start with us.
All right, ladies, before you continue,
may
I just bring in one person who's important, and then Alex, you pick up immediately off the bat.
Yeah.
I want to bring in Erica Marie Rivers. She's the founder of Our Black Girls. This is the community saying, we need to take care of our own. And then, Alex, you can respond right off the back of it. Here's Erica.
We launched Our Black Girls for many reasons, the main one being because these types of cases are often underrepresented in the media. But I also wanted to pay attention to this site being victim-based and just sharing the story about who these women and who these girls are or were, and keeping in mind that they have relatives and loved ones who still care about them and are still searching for their stories. In true crime, often it can be a bit of infotainment, entertainment, and we don't always take into consideration that there are still people that are left behind and picking up the pieces of tragedies. And I wanted to have a space that was not only sharing these cases, but very sensitive to that as well.
Yeah, the work that she is doing is so powerful. So she is literally a one-woman show, creating a database of quantitative measures, you know, putting in how many Black women and girls have gone missing, but also gathering articles, documents, police reports, that qualitative aspect as well, so that it's shaping those stories. And as a community organizer, that is so important that we take care of our own and that we figure out, figure out different solutions so that we can, you know, also promote the development of our Black girls. I will say that it is with our communities, but we also need to hold our elected officials accountable as well. Like, we can't do it all by ourselves. Wow. Representative Ruth Richardson of Minnesota has launched the first task force ever in the United States for missing Black women and girls and murdered Black women and girls. And I think for me, being in Boston, one of the reasons, similar to what Amara was saying, was that social media is such a transformative space. I wrote an op-ed about the ongoing crisis of missing Black girls in Boston because of the social media and because Black women and girls were organizing digitally and saying, these are so many cases, how come we are not talking about it? So I'm a writer at heart, so I decided to use that as a way for a solution. I will say we need separate task force. We need more than one task force to do this. And we can't work in isolation. The Child Justice Unit, police headquarter departments, human trafficking department, we have to work together to figure out an approach.
Aisha, I'm bringing you back in here because as Erica was speaking, I could see the emotion on your face. I also want to share this page because this page on Our Black Girls is your family story here. Myrtle Ann Hudson, teen daughter murdered by serial killer. So many families do not know what happened to their loved ones. You know. What difference does that make to you?
It made a major difference. I just happened to be searching for Tommy Lee Stewart because every few years I do a search for him to make sure he's still in prison. I just happened to be doing that, and I came across this story. And for years there had been no coverage on my family story, on my mom and my mother's kidnapping. And I found Erica, and she and I instantly connected via Instagram. I wrote to her and I told her, hey, this is my family story. And it just it developed from there. And she and I have built a relationship where it's personal. It's personal to me. And I celebrate all the work that she's doing to bring light and bring a voice, a louder voice, to the victims and their families and how it impacts their families. She humanizes the women and the Black women who have gone missing or murdered. So I'm ever grateful for her.
I have a couple of quick, very YouTube questions. Our audience is watching you. They're empathizing. They were asking questions. Instant answers back because we're almost at the end of the show. So SA says, have you ever witnessed guests firsthand how much a greater impact that more news coverage, more police effort has had? Alex, I see you nodding your head very quickly. What have you seen?
Yes, there was a case. I'm not going to say the name of the person, but there was a case in our organization, Black Boston, where we had one of our members' friends were missing, and we blasted it, and we did the Boost Black Girls campaign, and that definitely helped law enforcement and helped our elected officials understand that this is very important.
All right, one more on YouTube. Right, I hear you. I appreciate this. Another one on YouTube. Is the coverage because? Or the lack of coverage because of ratings, that it's seen that white, cute women get more ratings than Black women. Amara, be honest, be frank.
Almost definitely, yeah. They're with everything in, you know, America, that is what it is. And a lot of it is ratings. And Black women, the news media outlets don't feel like their stories are going to bring, you know, that awareness, or people are going to care, or, you know, that the story is interesting enough. And so, yeah, that has a lot to do with it.
But we are changing the status quo. Well, not we. Amara, Alex, Aisha are changing the status quo. All of the podcasts, the conversations, the websites are changing how Black and missing women are being treated. Thank you so much. I really appreciate your time today. Thank you for your comments on YouTube. I'll see you next time.